Luke chapter 2, verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Heavenly Father, thank you for many years ago, Lord, beginning the gift-giving tradition by giving the very first Christmas gift. Thank you for sending your Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a gift. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, to embrace this with full appreciation. Together this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We buy a lot of gifts around Christmas time, and we buy them for family, friends, sometimes for people that are in need, sometimes for complete strangers. What a good way to live. But I want you to understand that there's nothing wrong during the Christmas season of giving each other gifts. Because I believe that the first Christmas gift was a gift to every single person, not only that was alive at that time, but every person that's existed since then or before then. The first Christmas gift, I think the angels put it this way, shall be to all people. And so I think the Lord joys in the fact that we continue this first Christmas gift tradition by giving gifts to each other. I do admonish you and encourage you that we certainly should not leave the Lord out during this Christmas season, because as we all know, he is the reason for the season. And I think your best gift, I think your sweetest gift ought to be to Jesus every single month, every single December. But there was a first Christmas gift, a first Christmas gift given on the very first Christmas. Say, preacher, what was this gift? Well, I'm going to describe it to you this morning, all right? First of all, the first Christmas gift, let me point it out this way, was a baby. How about that? I mean, you know that God could have sent his Son in all kinds of different ways, and yet he chose to send him as a baby. Think about it. And that ought to bring us joy. He could have sent Jesus Christ down on a glory cloud at 30 years of age, ready to enter into the ministry. He could have skipped over all of the babyhood and childhood and adolescent years. But you know what? Jesus didn't come just to die for our sins. He came to teach us how to live also. And so he came as a baby. Now, we're in the middle of a baby boom around here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Matter of fact, we've been in the middle of a baby boom going on for about 6 years. Every once in a while it wanes down, and I think to myself, boy, for the first time in maybe 5 or 6 years, we may have a situation where nobody's expecting a baby, and just about the time we get there, there's joyous announcements here, there, and yonder that we're expecting, preacher. I said, amen. I say, my job is to fill the pulpit. Young couples, your job is to fill the nursery, amen. And so doesn't a baby just make Christmas that much more enjoyable? Let me give our young couple some very great advice. Watch this. Fill your home with children. With children. I promise you, when you get to the latter parts of your life, all of the stuff is just stuff. But you know what? The children are forever. And the good news is this. The children, if you don't kill them, will eventually produce for you grandchildren. Amen. And so the more the merrier. Fill your home with children. My wife bought me a couple years ago a record player. I know. That's what I wanted, a record player. Anybody that's raised in the same time sphere I am, if you get old, you start becoming nostalgic. There's just something about listening to Christmas music as it scratches out of an album that just... You know, you say, but it's better. It's clear. It's not better. It may be clear, but it's not better. And so she bought me a record player. And then Tabitha and AJ showed up, and they brought me some Christmas records. I had swiped a few from Lloyd Whittington, my next door neighbor, who has boxes of records, amen. And so anyway, I told him I'd put them in storage for him and take care of them, and I have taken good care of them. And I'm listening to them. I bought my mom for Christmas a record player. Me and Cheryl bought for Lloyd Whittington a record player. It's going to listen. It's going to catch on because we're trendsetters. We trendsetters. That's it. But I pulled out an old record. I'm talking about ancient, over 50 years ago. An old record. And I was listening to it. And most of them were very familiar songs. And then they got to the very last song on side one. And I listened to a Christmas song I'd never heard before. And it came out, I researched it. The song came out exactly 50 years ago this year. So it's 50 years old. So in honor of the 50th anniversary of this song, I'm going to do the best I can to sing it. What better way to pay homage to this song? All of the people that could stand and bring honor to this song and recognition of this song. Pray for me. I'm more nervous right now than I've been since I preached my first sermon. The best gift that I ever got really didn't weigh a lot. It didn't have a ribbon round. And it sometimes made a terrible sound. The best of all, it seems to me, it wasn't neath a Christmas tree. And yet, I guess I'd have to say that it made all the other presents twice as gay. The best gift that I've ever known, the one I wanted most to own. Yet in my dreams of sugar and spice, I never thought it would be so nice. Lost my place. The best gift that I'll ever get was sometimes dry and sometimes wet. Was usually pink, but oftentimes red, as it lay so innocently in its bed. The best gift of that year to me, the one I hold so dear to me, a precious gift that made my heart whirl, was a tiny baby girl. Merry Christmas. I think there's a reason that God took Jesus Christ and let him come the way he came. Amen. Nothing changes Christmas like children. God's first Christmas gift, the first and best Christmas gift ever, number one, was a baby. Number two, by the way, I got 5 points, only one song. Number two. And all God's people said, the first Christmas gift was a baby. The first Christmas gift was the perfect gift. The goal of every thoughtful and conscientious gift giver, man, I just want to give them the perfect gift, you know. So we fret and we think. And I'm reminded of a little video clip that somebody showed me of a little girl that recently got a present, a doll. She was so excited, she unwrapped the doll, and the parents have the camera set up, and they're wanting her reaction, and she unwraps it, and she looks at the doll, and looks at her mom, and looks at the doll, and looks at their mom. And then she says, "Mom, this isn't the one that I really wanted, but I'll deal with it." That's not the reaction that you're looking for. That's not the reaction that you want. I mean, you're hoping for, like, this is the best gift ever, or this is the greatest Christmas ever, or, honey, these goose plates are perfect.
I'm looking for.
We husbands, we don't always get it right, but let me say this, God got it right. His gift to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, was capital P, capital E, capital R, capital F, capital E, capital C, capital T, with about a million exclamation marks. It was perfect. He was perfect. In Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, it's a perfect gift, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God." In Hebrews chapter 4, we're assured that long after his birth and his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection, we have these words: "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." In hindsight, they looked at his life and said, "He's sinless." It was the perfect gift. Mark chapter 1, we read this, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized of John in Jordan. Straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Watch this. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." And folks, it's not that he did not have opportunity, and it's not that he did not face temptation. Matter of fact, the Bible says, "In all ways, in all points, tempted like as we are." You say, "Preacher, it's impossible for the Lord Jesus to be tempted with some of the things that we're tempted with because they didn't exist at that time." Let me tell you something. If the Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, let God be true and every man a liar, and nobody but God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and the devil knows what happened in the wilderness and what he was offered. But he came out of that sinless. And so you know what? God got it right. Jesus was the perfect, sinless Son of God. He truly was the perfect gift. We're talking about the first Christmas gift. It was a baby. The first Christmas gift was the perfect gift. Number three, the first Christmas gift was uniquely delivered. It seems like that we live in a day where gifts are not only becoming more unique, but the way gifts are purchased and the way they're delivered are becoming more and more unique. There was one day I was at the house, and by the way, the little mini flu bug that's gone through a lot of families, we got it this week and just passed it around because we share. That's what we do. We share in our house. And so Cheryl and AJ was sick Wednesday, and Tabitha woke up a little sick on Thursday. And by Thursday night, I'd gotten a little bit of the bug and spent Friday hunkered down. And Friday, I was at the house, and they were doing some running and last-minute shopping, and I hear a car pull up, and it's the FedEx guy. And he runs up, and we've got a little container on the porch, and he opens it up and drops the box in there, and he jumps in his vehicle and shoots out the driveway, and it wasn't 15, 20 minutes later, here come the mailman up the driveway. And he had a couple parcels, and by the way, the reason these were coming was we got a call from California, or a text from California about a week ago that says, "If any packages are delivered to your house, do not look at them." So I was excited. Keep them coming. And I even said to myself, "Well, the only person I haven't seen is the UPS guy." About an hour later, here comes a brown truck right up the driveway. Opens up, puts another box in there. Man alive. And then, I don't really know who this person was, but somebody came up in just a beige car. I don't know if they work for FedEx. I don't know if they work for UPS. I don't know if they work for the mail service. I don't know if it was just somebody that was lost. I don't know if somebody had the wrong house. I didn't care. They brought a gift, and they put it in the box. And it just seems like, you know, with online shopping, can you imagine folks that are my age and older that you could just sit at home? And I used to say in front of your computer, but no, you just take your phone out and sit there, and in the evening you can do all of your Christmas shopping, and here it comes. I mean, I opened up something the other day, and I didn't know what it was. And my wife had to tell me, well, you know, I said, "What is this?" And my email, and it was a Christmas card. They're sending Christmas cards through my phone. And so I pushed the appropriate button after a couple minutes of being confused, and little animated characters now are jumping up and down on my screen and singing me Merry Christmas songs. And I'm thinking to myself, what happened? Where am I? Now, let me just share something with you. When God sent Jesus, you talk about someone who was uniquely delivered to us. Look, if you will, back in Luke chapter 1, I want to share, can we eavesdrop on a conversation between Gabriel, the archangel, and a little Jewish girl by the name of Mary? In Luke 1:26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Boy, you talk about, listen, I saw the UPS guy and the FedEx guy and the mailman and the lady in the beige car, but I never had anything like this happen. You talk about a delivery. And the angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." Down in verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And this is a great mystery, folks, but what a miracle. The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." What an amazing, miraculous delivery of the first gift ever. We've read the story. We still wonder at it. But can you imagine if we could move it into modern time? And here we have, maybe in our own church, a young lady that's engaged to a young man and clean kids and pure kids. And all of a sudden, a wondrous story, a miraculous thing happened. And you know what happened? Watch this, young people. God himself took little baby Jesus and handed him to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit went and placed that little baby inside of this little Jewish girl. And you know what? It grew and grew, and he grew and was born, and he was delivered in such a wonderful and unique way. Luke chapter 2. By the way, not just uniquely delivered, uniquely wrapped. Amen. Lloyd Whittington, who's not one to wrap gifts, hands me a bag of pecan turtles. Big box. Well, what brand was that? Do you remember what that was? They were good. A big bag of pecan turtles. Unwrapped, just the bag. It says pecan turtles. And it's got a tag on it right up here that says, "To Jerry from Lloyd and Ben." And I looked at it and shook it and said, "I wonder what this is." You know, he didn't wrap it. This gift came wrapped. How about Luke chapter 2, verse 7? "And she brought forth her firstborn son." Beautiful wrapping, here it is, "wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." We're talking about the first gift. You know what, folks, watch this. It was the gift of a baby, and it was the perfect gift, and it was uniquely delivered by God himself and wrapped up for all of us to enjoy. Number four, the first Christmas gift, let me say this, was desperately needed. Desperately needed. Now, I want to say this. This is probably true. Most of our Christmas gifts are things we want, but honestly are not things that we need. Right. You remember growing up? You remember the presents you least appreciated? It was not the gifts you wanted. It was the gifts you needed. I mean, you know, you get there and you open a package and you're so excited, and grandma's giving you socks. I was actually going to say something else, but socks will work here. Socks. And you need socks and other stuff. You need that stuff. But it's kind of like, really? And that's kind of America. Can I say this? God has promised to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. Yet in this time of materialism, this age of greed and gaudiness, the average person seems to be way too unthankful for our needs being met, but instead choose to baptize ourselves in bitterness because we're not allowed to have everything that we want. But let me tell you something. On that day, God gave us what we needed the most, what we needed the most. On that first Christmas morn, God gave mankind the most important gift. he could ever receive. What are you saying, preacher? Mankind desperately needed this first Christmas gift. In the book of Ephesians, we read, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having," boy, two words here, how desperate they are, "having no hope without God in this world, but now is Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." John was inspired to put it this way: "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I love that little phrase, "that we might live through him." We desperately, desperately needed this gift. Why? Because we were without Christ. And because of that, we were without hope. With Christ, we're made nigh unto God by the blood of Christ. We are saved from hell, promised a home in heaven, given a chance on earth to live a supernatural and sanctified life. Here's the phrase, through him, through him. Oh, we desperately needed it. Let me give you the last thought. Number five, the first Christmas gift, and this is good news, can still be received today. Still available. Say, "Preacher, is this gift for me?" Absolutely. Well, where do you get it? Well, let me tell you where I got it. I got it north of Brazil, Indiana. A little country church called the Rock Run Baptist Church. And you know what? Thank God. I didn't have to give a thing for it. Absolutely 100% free. A gift, a gift. But you have to understand some things if you're going to receive it. First of all, you have to understand that you're a sinner without hope. "Well, preacher, I think I'm going to try to do this by myself." No one ever has and no one ever will, and you won't be the first one. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the way, the wages of sin is death." But that verse doesn't stop there. Let's move on. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when a person gets to the point where they know that they're helpless and hopeless without God, and that there is a free gift of eternal life that's being offered to them because of the sacrifice, the price that Jesus was willing to pay on Calvary's cross. And when a person understands that they can receive Jesus and have their sins forgiven, and they lift up their heart to God, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Free, 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 free. It's a gift. It's a gift. You try to buy it, you can't get it. It's a free gift, and you can receive it today. You say, "Preacher, do I have to go up north of Brazil? Where's this church again?" I got good news for you. This gift is available everywhere. You don't have to get on your phone and do a search and see which stores still have it. I got it at Rock Run Baptist Church north of Brazil, Indiana. Guess what? Let me say this. Hundreds, probably thousands of people have received that gift right here at the Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. And you know what? Let me just encourage you. If you've never been saved, what a better day could anybody be saved than Christmas Day? Jesus was born on this day. Watch this. You can be born again on this Christmas Day. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and use these scriptures, dear God, these Bible precepts, to sweeten our hearts during this Christmas day. Thank you for the greatest gift that was ever given, that first gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him as a baby. And Lord, I would ask that today would be especially sweet for the families that have just of late welcomed in new arrivals. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us that this was a perfect gift. And Lord, we did desperately need it, and it can still be received today. If there's anyone amongst us, dear Lord, that's never received you as personal Savior, I pray that they'd be saved today.